Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
From the Word of God with you, why we believe. This song, I Believe, highlights some of those musically highlights some of the reasons, but we know from the Word of God why it is so true. So we have three segments to this message. Eternal God, from the beginning you've been unchanging. Risen Savior, his firm foundation cannot be shaken. Coming King, he will do what he says he will be done. And there's three preachers this morning. We'll all be brief. Don't worry. That's another miracle, but we will be. Reverend Frederica Walters, the lead pastor of Christian Faith Outreach Center, will begin. Reverend Jason Luscombe, our district superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada for Eastern Ontario and Nunavut. And then myself, Reverend Marie Miller, lead pastor of Pickering. We believe.
I believe in who Jesus says he is. Do you believe? You may be seated this morning. Well, I believe in Jesus because he is God. The God of yesterday, the God of today, and he is God forever. From the beginning, you've been unchanging in a changing world. He has remained constant. You are the eternal God. Hallelujah. From the beginning of creation, God has been unchanging. Genesis 1 verse 1 tells us, that in the beginning, the world was a ruin and it was in chaos. The rest of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 shows God bringing order to the formless void, establishing order where chaos once existed. But pay attention to how God brought order to the world. He brought order through his word. As soon as he spoke, creation began to take shape. Then chaos returned through the sin of Adam and Eve, creating the need for order to be restored once more again. And how would the world be put back into order the second time around? Yet again, through the word, or more specifically, through the spoken word, the word made flesh, as we see in St. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh, and that word came to earth and lived among us. Divinity and humanity came together, bringing forth the Christ that would bring order again into the world. The living word walked among men. In a way, the entirety of Jesus' ministry was about the word that we call Jesus, restoring order to creation. He brought hope to the poor. Hallelujah. He brought help to those that are helpless. He brought healing to the sick, to those that are oppressed, as we heard through the many testimonies today. He brought restoration to the broken. We saw him walking through her, giving life wherever he went, healing, delivering, setting free, casting out demons, restoring creation to its former place. He raised the dead and brought them back to life. Of course, the work of restoration in creation is not yet finished. As Jesus said, he would continue to restore creation, and how he's going to do it, he's doing it through you and I today. Praise God. Matthew 27 verse 54 tells us concerning the crucifixion, it said, the Roman officers and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake that took place when Jesus died. And as a matter of fact, we know through scientific means proven that at the time Jesus died, it is recorded that there was an earthquake. This is why we believe. We believe because the evidence is there, praise God. These soldiers at the cross declared, this man, this living word, this man Jesus truly was the Son of God. Now, not only is he the firstborn son from the dead, but he is indeed the incarnate God that came to earth. Hallelujah. He's not just a man. He is God. So on that cross, his blood was spilled. And by his stripes, I have been healed. I've got a personal testimony. In 1992, the doctors told me that I had a 50-50 chance of removing a fibromatosis tumor in my lower back. The prognosis was that I could end up spending my life in a wheelchair. But today I'm standing. But today I'm rejoicing because by his stripes I am healed. And so I believe, hallelujah, Jesus, the God of miracles, the unchanging God, fulfilled his promise that by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes you also can be healed. And so I believe in Jesus. And I believe he is who he says he is. He is the unchanging God in a changing world. From the beginning, Jesus, you've been unchanging. And age to age, you remain the same. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God.
It seemed that his word was about to fail. We look at Good Friday, and it seemed like the words of Jesus were coming to an end. But the Bible says in Matthew 28, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. So come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Must have been a terrible time for the followers of Jesus during that week. These are men and women who had seen Christ. They had heard him. They saw the miracles that he did. When Jesus said, come follow me, they left everything. They left their business. They left their livelihood. Some of them had left their families and their marriage, and they said, we're going to follow this Jesus. They even left their reputations among the Jewish faith and community, and they followed Christ because they were convinced that could this be the Messiah that would liberate us from our difficulties? And just a week ago, as Jesus would have entered into Jerusalem, they would have become a little bit confused. He walked into Jerusalem riding on a colt, a small donkey. That didn't make sense. As he walked into Jerusalem, he turned over the tables and he ran people out of the temple. And when the religious leaders came to talk to him, he answered their questions and he put them in their place in a negative way. This would have been really confusing for the disciples. And if Jesus was a politician, his ratings in the polls were going down very, very quickly. They questioned him and they demanded a sign. Give us a sign that we come and put our trust in you. And Jesus said, only one sign is going to be given. I'm going to tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And they questioned him and they mocked him because they thought he was speaking of the physical temple. But we know that Jesus was speaking about his body, that temple of the Holy Spirit. So everything the disciples had believed in seemed to be sinking fast. Jesus was arrested. He was crucified. He died and was buried. It seemed like everything that they had hoped for ended when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," and he breathed his last breath. But oh, church, on Sunday morning, when the women came to the tomb, the angel told them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen just as he said." I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection shows us that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was accepted by God the Father. The resurrection shows us that death has been defeated once and for all. That's why the scripture says, "Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" It shows us that Jesus is our conquering king. That through Jesus, we too have become more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And one of my favorites, the resurrection shows us that we can trust him. He did what he said he would do. The resurrection proves that the word of the Lord indeed stands forever. And because of the resurrection, those in Christ have solid ground in a sinking world. I don't know if the Bible talks about tariffs or not, but it does say that there will be wars and rumors of wars. It says that nations will rise against nations. Kingdoms will rise against kingdoms. There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes, and we're seeing those things. It says in the book of Hebrews that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. But only the things that will remain will not be shaken. And it says the word of the Lord stands forever. Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus is known as the chief cornerstone. He is the solid rock on which we stand. He is our firm foundation today. And I have a friend who says, "I have trembled many times on the rock, but the rock has never trembled under me." Hallelujah. That's why he says in Matthew 7:24, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet," and hear me, church, "it did not fall because it had the foundation upon the rock." Hear the word of the Lord today. Because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can put your trust in him. You can put your faith on that rock. You can build your life upon his word, upon that solid ground. The Bible says, and I end with this, in Romans 8:11, that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives in me, and it now lives in you. Hallelujah.
And that is why we believe. Have you ever wondered why Easter is so imperative for us who believe in the Bible? You heard from our pastor, Pastor Frederica, Reverend Frederica Walters, eternal God. From the beginning, he's been unchanging. See, in the past, God established a plan, salvation for all people he created. Because humans sinned from the Garden of Eden, you heard it, continued to sin, not heeding all the warnings of the God who created them. You heard from Reverend Jason Luscombe, risen Savior. Such a firm foundation cannot be shaken. Everything has been shaken. In this present time, people still continue to ignore Christ, although all the evidence of his existence, his goodness, his mercy, and his word are so prevalent in this generation. And I'm here to wrap it up with this coming King reminder. He says he will do what he says he will do. Many times we change our minds, we change our word, everyone changes their word, but God cannot change his word. So for the future, God gave a promise, and that promise is unchangeable. And that fact of what he put in the word is unalterable. He sent his son Jesus to secure for us who will believe a home in heaven, because at some point, everything that we know as earth will come to an end. So my part today is to remind us simply, the future, you get to choose. If I were God, I would never have given humanity a choice. Those of you that have animals know, sometimes we wonder if they have better common sense. But here's the thing, folks. He gave that to us freely. Matthew chapter 28 is where my text comes from, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. For those that are new to the faith, why 11? Because one completely denied him and then hung himself. Don't deny Christ, because it leads to a spiral. So let's start again. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority is given in heaven and on earth. It's been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." That's why we believe, because God made a promise he's going to be with us regardless of what's going on to the very end of the age. So folks, his commission in Matthew 28, a commission is an instruction. It is a command, or it's a duty that must be fulfilled and never ignored. Suggestions are optional. Commands are mandatory. And after Jesus' resurrection, he gave this command to the disciples, which is still a command to us today. And his command supersedes time and space and country and culture and personalities and governments. His command supersedes everything. So while us humans have a tendency to change our minds, change our direction, change our instruction, God never changes. So when we look at the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we should be acting in wisdom, recognizing God has never spoken a word that has not been fulfilled. So we need to consider seriously the impact of Easter in this decade as we lift up the name of Jesus and submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He was beaten, he was beaten, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, put in a tomb, he rose from the grave, he ascended back to heaven, but he said, there's a definite end to the age that will come. And folks, God's word cannot lie. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that even when Jesus was walking among them, many doubted. I want to ask you today, the Bible clearly says they saw him, some worshiped him and some doubted. Sitting in this great arena, online, worldwide, some of you believe, some are rejoicing, but some of you are doubting. Can I appeal to you today? It's already recorded that some will doubt. Do not join that crowd, because God's word cannot change. Never in the history of our lives did anyone think we would see so many of the prophetic words of the Bible being fulfilled with such rapid succession. For generations, humanity has seen the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible that tells us the prophetic timeline of Christ's coming. But we've been seeing it slowly coming. But today, we live in an era where the fulfillment is escalating so quickly that any person with wisdom must sit up and say, something strange is happening. Something new has changed in the face of the earth. Truly, God's word is being fulfilled. So my question is, why do so many still doubt? Will you always remain in doubt? Or will you choose to become one of the worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ? How should one who believes behave at such a time like this? 2 John verse 5-9 says, I'm writing to you to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. Watch out that you do not lose what we work for so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. Before I read that last verse, I want to remind many of you who are here in this great Easter service, you knew the reward of God for your life. You knew how he called you, how he impacted you, how the miracles he's done for you, how he's kept you and provided all of these things. But some of you have, along the journey, allowed religiosity to bring you to doubt rather than allow your relationship to bring you to greater faith. Today, you can change that. The last verse says, but anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both Father and the Son. So over the many decades, people have chosen to doubt. Such people, many who have chosen to doubt, not those of you here, because you came because you still so believe in God, but you're doubting if you should still continue to believe and walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I implore you today, don't let it be a question mark. Make an exclamation today, I believe. But many who ignore the things of God and hate and despise the word of God, which equalizes the world, they allow pride and self-sufficiency, the lure of money and the deception of long life to fool them into thinking there can be their own gods. There are no other gods but the God of heaven. No matter how much money you have, and we've seen that money, this is just a commodity. One day it can be as high as the heavens, and the next day it's down to the earth. Even the wealthiest are seeing that. So money is just a commodity. But the word of the Lord shall endure forever. That is why we believe. So friends, do not be deceived. God is real. Heaven is real. Christ was real. Christ is still real. Christ's death was real. His resurrection is truly real. And his coming again is very real. But what is also real is that hell is real. And I want you today to make a determination. Not hell. Not hell. I believe the God who created you has such a plan and purpose over your life. Purpose cannot be fulfilled in denial and doubt. Purpose is fulfilled in acceptance and in confidence in who God has called you to be. So many people today are seeking peace through many means: money, fame, sex, drugs, fleeting pleasures. Now they're into weird exploits. Have you seen how they just keep adding? Because the minute you move away from the word of God, it is just like an open Pandora box. You can't stop adding to it. But I want you to know the knowledge of the Lord brings you into right relationship, and acceptance of that knowledge brings you into a peace of mind, peace that rules your heart, peace that rules your mind. So do not allow self-sins or worldly compromise or fear to keep you from sealing your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. God is personal to you, but Jesus Christ requires a personal decision from you. Can I say that again? God is personal to every one of you, but Jesus Christ requires a personal decision to be in relationship with him, and that is what we call you to today, in-house, online, worldwide, no matter what nation you're in, you can bow and say, God, I'm coming back into relationship. Amen. So do not allow anything to keep you from the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing. I'm going to list a few of those things that have masked themselves and pulled people away into doubt. Doubt of the Lord Jesus. One of that is self-righteousness. That's when the whisper comes in your spirit. You're the only one who's right. Have you ever met people who are, they're always the only one that's right? And so we just, Don't allow that. You're not the only one that's right. Only the Word of God is right. We're all wrong at some time. Self-pity. That's the poor me syndrome. My life can never change. You don't know where I've been and what I've been through. Jesus chose 12 disciples. One of them denied him, sold him out. And Jesus knew that before he chose him. Can I tell you? Today, he already has a mark on your life. Don't let self-pity come upon you. Self-loathing. That's the I'm nobody. Nobody loves me. He chose a guy named Peter who couldn't get it right. And yet he made him one of his great disciples. Somebody loves you. And if you feel today nobody loves you, that's even more reason for you to be in relationship with the Lord. So you can wake up every day and tell yourself, still, somebody loves me. In fact, most of us nowadays, even married couples, they got to get up, some of them, and say, Jesus loves me. Parents with the kids that don't call home, you're like, thank God he loves me. Don't let self-loathing get you. Self-confidence. If it wasn't for my wealth or my fame or what I have, I would go. Some of you are going to say, but I don't want people here to think I need Jesus. Everyone, high or low. King Solomon was the wealthiest man. It's not Elon Musk who's the wealthiest. It was King Solomon. Word of God. Elon can't touch that. But it didn't matter. Solomon needed the Lord. So it doesn't matter what your level is. It's not a judgment call that you're rich or poor. It's that everyone, your richness should be in your spirit, not in your bank account. Self-sufficiency. I don't need Jesus. Jesus needs me. That's a deception. Everyone needs a great Savior. That's why we boast in him today. We don't congregate because Jesus needs us. Do you know what? He has millions of angels that are worshiping him. We are peons in the midst of all of that. But he chose us, and he lifted us and esteemed us highly. Self-admiration. Look at me. Look at me. My life is perfect. Friend, there was only one life that was perfect. That was the Lamb of God. And they crucified him. So if you're that perfect, then you better line up for your crucifixion and be able to rise from the dead after. Because Jesus already done it. No one else will. And the last one I want to share with you is self-love. I count first. So I don't want to love God more than I love myself. The love of God changes everything. And when you want to understand love, you have to have a relationship with God. It's not easy to love everyone. But when you have the love of God, it's easier to love people. I'm commanded to love everyone. I don't have to like everyone. Those of you that are wondering, you're like, but if I come to Jesus, do I have to love everyone? He will help you to love everyone, but he'll show you what you don't have to like. That's what I love about my, that's my king. Why do we believe? Eternal God, from the beginning you've been unchanging. Risen Savior, from the firm foundation. Risen Savior, his firm foundation cannot be shaken. Coming King, he will do what he says will be done. Would everyone, online, in-house, around the world, would you make this a time where you ask yourself, am I going to live in continual doubt, or am I going to choose today to declare, I believe? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God, you would speak into the hearts of those who know this is a decision day for them. But let no fear, oh God, cause no fear to come upon them. No negative factors. God, cause them to avoid negative external factors where they feel they can save themselves or some government will face or some money or some inheritance. May they, Lord, release themselves from the bondage of external factors and reach out to you. I pray, oh God, that they will not allow any negative internal factors to come and dominate their mind, because many did that already. They doubted you and they rejected you. But today, oh God, we are choosing heaven as our home, as the future gets closer, and as we navigate through these seasons of life with the peace and the comfort and the confidence of the Holy Spirit. So I pray today everyone will embrace a positive everlasting factor that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose for us, ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, is preparing a place for us. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, you, Lord God, are calling back to those who need to make that decision and to declare to themselves, you said, if they confess you as Lord and Savior, that is all that is required, and you will journey with them the rest of their lives. So today, oh God, Father, move in this place and cause every person here to make a determination to walk towards an eternal future.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.